from South Dakota Public Broadcasting. This is your SDPB News Podcast. I'm Jackson Dirks in Sioux Falls. Today, we have updates from South Dakota's 101st legislative session. Up first, we'll bring you the latest on one of the biggest topics this session beginning to heat up in the Capitol building, property taxes. One bill aiming to regulate an unregulated industry, a bill on school lunches advances, and even more. It's Wednesday, March 4th. Here are today's stories. Two key pieces of property tax legislation approach the finish line, but the debate seems poised to continue. For now, though, the end is in sight for a newly crafted property tax package. SDPB CJ Keene has more.
Senate Bill 245 is a vehicle bill creating a homeowner property tax reduction fund, and the nearly $56 million in that account would transfer from the General Revenue Replacement Fund. Senate Bill 96 is Governor Larry Roden's plan, allowing counties to opt in to a higher sales tax to fund local property tax relief. Roden says this plan is targeted at the counties most in need. Both cleared the House State Affairs Committee Wednesday morning. 96 is now one vote away from the governor's desk, and 245 will need its amendments confirmed by the Senate. New Holland Republican Marty Overweg is the assistant majority leader of the House. He says he can get behind these bills if they're working in concert with one another.
The governor's bill by itself I didn't like, you know, and I wouldn't have voted for it, but patched in with the other one, with 245, I think both of them can work together. South Dakota's very unique state, and there's, you know, half the people live in urban areas and about half the people live in rural areas. It's hard to get one plan that's going to fit everybody. So we start down that road. We start taking steps.
Not everyone finds the property tax debate compelling at this juncture, though. Sioux Falls Democratic House Minority Leader Aaron Healy says the property tax debate has missed the forest for the trees.
These bills ignore real affordability problems because it doesn't fix the cost of housing, costs rising, childcare expenses, health care, the fact that education is costing more, and that just seems wrong to me.
However, both Healy and Overweg, despite their political differences, agree on one thing. The property tax debate is far from over, and these bills are the building blocks to future discussions. SDPB will continue to cover both proposals as they're heard in the House, as well as the ongoing property tax debate. I'm SDPB's CJ Keene in Pierre.
Non-medical home care agencies, like those that aid the elderly with dementia, are one step closer to being licensed under state law. Proponents argue regulation could protect some of the most vulnerable in South Dakota. House Bill 1138 licenses a private industry some say is currently unregulated. Non-medical home care agencies help their clients with tasks like personal and house care without clinical or medical services. They often help people with dementia or Alzheimer's disease. South Dakota doesn't currently mandate licensure, training, or background checks unless it's done through Medicaid. The bill requires 8 hours of training and background checks. Backers of the bill say licensure could prevent elder abuse, neglect, and other harms. The Department of Health opposes the bill. Cassie Deffenbaugh is the department's division director for the Division of Licensure and Accreditation. She argues the bill offers no recourse for such abuses.
It is regulating paperwork, not care or client outcomes, and the overly broad definitions pull in those ordinary service providers and really limit our ability to investigate safety or enforce some concerning situations.
Deffenbaugh says the DOH can't effectively investigate these concerns beyond the paperwork. Other states also license the industry. Representative Melissa Heerman, the bill's prime sponsor, states the bottom line.
Making sure we're not allowing a bad actor to walk into the personal homes and private spaces of our elderly and vulnerable neighbors is important enough to require at least these basic protections.
The Senate Health and Human Services Committee endorses the bill 5-2. Senator Carl Perry votes yes. He agrees unintended businesses will be caught in the bill, but says it's time to take a step forward.
If I waited for all the stop signs to turn green to go to Chicago, I'd be in Aberdeen or I'd be in Pierre for a long time. It just doesn't happen. This is a step in the right direction. This is turning one stoplight green.
Following committee approval, HB 1138 heads to the Senate floor. I'm SDPB's Jackson Dirks. Expanded free and reduced school lunches are closer than ever to the governor's desk. Now it's in the hands of the Senate floor. SDPB CJ Keene reports.
Lobbyist Rob Munson has advocated for public schools for over a decade, and he leans on his time as a former elementary school principal to inform his support or opposition to these kinds of bills. Speaking in favor of this bill, he says the prime sponsor's advocacy is rooted in fact. Students are worse learners when they're hungry.
I would look at any adult. We go some time without eating. You know, you start to get hangry. Just imagine those kiddos who are hungry, stomachs are growling, and we're trying to have them do the arithmetic tables or something. It's got to be challenging. In all of our school districts, by the way, this isn't an isolated area. This is all across the state of South Dakota. What a great way to help kids.
For prime sponsor, Sioux Falls Democratic Representative Caden Whitman, it symbolizes a victory not just for her caucus, but for those across the aisle who understand the importance of this issue.
We are always looking for ways that we can support South Dakota kids and families. With this fiscal note being so low, just under $600,000 a year, and the only way that amount goes up is if the number of families living in poverty goes up. This feels like a easy win for both my Republican and my Democrat colleagues to vote on a measure that will provide immediate relief for our most vulnerable kids and families and will take a little bit of pressure off of our individual school districts as well.
The bill found a groundswell of bipartisan support earlier this session, the result of Whitman's four-year-long effort of coalition building around the issue. In a Tuesday interview, Whitman says after fighting for this legislation for so long, she's optimistic, but not certain.
I have not taken a single committee hearing or floor vote for granted. I know that there's a tremendous amount of time and effort that has gone into getting some of these folks to a yes, and I am hopeful that we will see that return on all of the work we've done in the Senate tomorrow, and we will continue with the precedent that's been set by all the previous votes of having a strong margin in favor of this.
Whitman encouraged voters to call or email their senators with their opinion on the proposal before the bill is heard today. I'm SDPB's CJ Keene in Pierre.
With the swipe of his pen, Governor Larry Rodin could provide additional oversight into a tax-backed fund only he has the power to use. The employer's investment in South Dakota's Future Fund is a pool of money supported by a tax on employers. It dates to the 80s and is a fund the governor can disperse for purposes related to research and economic development. Those uses have been loosely defined, which has been a point of controversy for legislators. That came to a head under former Governor Kristi Noem, who used $9 million on a workforce recruitment campaign she starred in, a move many lawmakers pushed back against. However, its positives include programs like the Build Dakota Scholarship. Lawmakers have a compromise bill that's been agreed on between the governor's Office of Economic Development, or GOED, and the legislature. House Bill 1286 more clearly defines what a research or economic development project is. It also requires GOED to report annually on grants and awards from the fund to six different legislative committees. A key change to the fund under 1286 is the dollars would be on a reimbursement basis, and how those dollars are spent more transparent. New Holland Republican Representative Marty Overweg is chair of the Legislative Government Operations and Audit Committee, a legislative committee spearheading reform to the fund. He says it's a bill for the people.
They elect us to come here and to protect them, to protect their funds, their money, and we are the people's voice. So it's very important that we set up these guardrails, that organizations and departments working within government, we're the ones that get to look at what they do, where they spend the money. So that's why I think it's very important that we have legislative oversight, because the legislature is the people's voice.
A bill earlier in session attempting to amend the fund was killed. Overweg says that spurred conversations to find a compromise between all stakeholders.
Well, that's called statesmanship, and that's the way government should work.
Lawmakers say should HB 1286 become law, it would be the most significant future fund reform accomplished in decades. The bill advances to the governor's desk after a 33-1 vote on the Senate floor. I'm SDPB's Jackson Dirks. The House Ag and Natural Resources Committee endorses a moratorium on the manufacture, sale, and distribution of cell-cultured proteins in South Dakota. This comes after Governor Larry Rodin vetoed a ban on cell-cultured protein, citing potential lawsuits over a ban and free market concerns. He endorsed Senate Bill 124 instead. It's been deemed a compromise to get something passed following the veto. The bill enacts a five-year moratorium on the product lawmakers are calling fake meat. Representative John Sharda is the bill's prime House sponsor. He says a waiting period is necessary to study the meats further.
At the end of the moratorium period, this legislature, or a future one, can revisit the issue with better data, clearer court guidance, and real-world experience from other jurisdictions.
No opponents spoke on the bill. It advances to the House floor after a 9-1 committee vote. Governor Larry Wotan is signing a bill banning the use of SNAP funds to buy soft drinks. That's despite speculation Wotan might veto the bill. HB 1056 requests a waiver to exclude soft drinks from the Federal Supplemental Nutrition Assistance, or SNAP, program. Supporters cited health and nutrition concerns. It easily passed both chambers of the legislature, but Wotan voiced concerns over the cost to the state. Officials say it'll cost the state $300,000 over the next 2 years, then $250,000 per year after that. The governor finally did agree to sign it, but issued a statement saying he disagrees a state waiver is the right approach. He says lasting SNAP reform requires federal action. Despite efforts from grassroots Republicans, South Dakotans won't have the opportunity to limit eminent domain powers in the state constitution. The state Senate killed House Joint Resolution 5001. It would have asked voters to ban eminent domain for the purposes of increasing the tax base, tax revenues, employment, or general economic health. The resolution comes on the heels of Summit Carbon Solutions, which attempted to use eminent domain for its carbon capture pipeline. Many around the state have become distrustful of economic development in eminent domain as a result. Opponents in committee included rural water and electric utility companies. That caused lawmakers to pause if this could impact those necessary utilities. The state Senate kills the resolution 19-14. A bill rescheduling certain drugs, if they receive FDA approval, just needs the governor's signature to become law. The measure raised some eyebrows because the drugs in question are psychedelic medications. Advocates say they show promise in treating depression, PTSD, and other mental health issues. But the stigma over using psychedelics was a bridge too far for some lawmakers. Here's a debate from the Senate floor in their own words.
House Bill 1099, having had its second reading, is up for consideration and final passage. Are there any remarks? Senator Pischke.
When the FDA approves a new treatment that is classified as a Schedule 1, the DEA will make a rescheduling decision for the treatment, moving it from a Schedule 1 to a lower schedule. This essentially provides a legal use for medical treatment in the United States. However, in South Dakota, legislation must be passed to reschedule the substance on a South Dakota controlled substances list under South Dakota law. HB 1099 is a trigger law that accomplishes this process by rescheduling the FDA-approved pharmaceutical composition of crystalline polymorph psilocybin as a Schedule 4 controlled substance if and when it is approved by the FDA.
Senator Blanc.
Psilocybin is classified as a psychedelic or a hallucinogen with similar effects as LSD, resulting in seeing objects that warp, morph, or change solid colors, a sense of melting into the environment, and trails behind moving objects. Some of us have experienced those 50 years ago. Crazy things. You do crazy things on these types of hallucinogenic drugs. And like I said, there's a reason why these drugs have been illegal for years. The National Institute for Health. And they quote the American Psychiatric Association's position that there is currently inadequate scientific evidence for endorsing the use of psychedelics to treat any psychiatric disorder except within the context of approved investigational studies. And I'm fine with these investigational studies, but we're just nowhere near setting up a trigger law that says as soon as the FDA might approve something like this, that we're just going to, we in South Dakota, one of the states that still is known for having common sense, is just going to put these drugs into effect.
For the remarks on House Bill 1099, Senator Smith.
I personally have spoken to medical professionals in the state that are waiting for the approval to use this treatment. It is a very effective treatment, they're finding through the studies on certain individuals, again, with drug-resistant depression and PTSD. It would be controlled, it would be under a doctor's care, and in speaking with the physician about this, it would be used in context with a medical provider for both the MD and also with a counselor of sorts that would help them through their trip that they're on to make sure that they have the support necessary to do what it is that they're trying to do. Because unsupported, the former speaker is correct. You can go in bad directions. But supported What they're finding is they can reset past traumas to the point that these folks can function in society and have a productive life again.
Does anyone wish to speak before Senator Blanc speaks a second time? Senator Blanc.
Obviously, there's plenty of research out there, and do your own homework. To be honest, I don't want to help anybody on a trip. I've been there. I know what it's like. You see crazy things, you do crazy things, nothing that you want to be bragging about. I'm glad that I've been forgiven all that crazy stuff that I did back in the day. And one of my favorite things to do is to help young people not go down some of the crummy paths that I did when I was younger, because I didn't. And so I want to help people, but there are already approved drugs that have been on the market for years. Give them those.
Senator Davis.
This drug that we're talking about today is designed and intended for treatment-resistant depression. So what that means is that they've tried all the medications out there right now, and they're not working. And when people get to that point, other therapies that are included are like shock therapy. And I can tell you from my professional experience doing anesthesia, I've put patients to sleep for that type of therapy. I would much rather give them a different opportunity for something else that could help them.
The Senate approved it in a 21-12 vote. It's now on the governor's desk.
Legislative coverage on SDPB is supported by the South Dakota Bar Foundation, SDN Communications, Missouri River Energy Services, and your membership in the Friends of SDPB. Thank you.
A new report shows most violent crime is down in Sioux Falls. New data from the Sioux Falls Police Department showed violent crime per capita is at a 5-year low. It also showed a 26% decrease in property crime from 2024 to 2025. Officials say stolen vehicles saw the largest decrease, with just over 900 stolen vehicles last year. That's down 34% from 2024 and 43% from its peak in 2023. City leaders credit the decrease to targeted message, proactive enforcement, and collaboration between police and other law enforcement agencies. The South Dakota Department of Health is announcing the second round of requests for proposals for the state's Rural Health Transformation Initiative. Funding for the initiative comes from the federal Rural Health Transformation Program. That was part of President Trump's One Big Beautiful Bill. South Dakota is set to receive $189 million this fiscal year. A bill giving the state authority to spend these dollars was the first bill signed into law by Governor Rhoda in this session. Officials say RFPs are now available in three areas: a doula workforce advancement program, a statewide maternal health access and services assessment, and the Rural Health Forward program. You can find more information on these RFPs at sdpb.org/news. Fort Pierce city leaders say they're in a stalemate with federal officials over an effort to develop land along the Missouri River. The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers bought more than 40 lots along the river in the 1990s as a part of a long-term flood control project. South Dakota News Watch reports city officials have tried for years to buy some of those lots back to develop housing. They say they believe it's possible to develop the area with flood mitigation in mind, noting some of the lots are prime riverfront property. But the Corps of Engineers hasn't budged on selling the land. And that's your daily news update. Make sure to follow us on Facebook, X, and YouTube at SDPB News, and visit sdpb.org/news to stay up to date on our journalism as it comes in. As always, thanks for listening.